So if you remember last week, right, if we summarize Psak, right, take the, right, distill Psak into his basic elements. So we noted that Psak, right, first to generate theoretical Psak, you balance three factors. You balance analysis in the sugyot, you balance precedent, and how previous poskim interpreted the sugya, and you balance minag, both in terms of what people do, the custom of how poskim paskin, custom in all its meaning. And once you have that, you can apply it to reality, but you know, usually you'll apply it to reality, however exactly you're going to determine reality, which is not so simple, and you're going to paskin based on the most plausible read of the sugya, taking everything into account. If there are extenuating circumstances, then you have to figure out how extenuating. Does halacha recognize these extenuating circumstances? And then that may push you to paskin based on something which is a more minority position, is a less plausible position, but still within the realm of plausibility. Usually you won't paskin based on something that's absolutely implausible, like it's 0% chance that that's the halacha. Usually. Once in a while you will, and we call that akira davar min haTorah, right? When we allow you to uproot the Torah, Racha, which Ariel says, we don't do that. And as I said, yeah, except for remotion, the radiation of Avadi Yosef, do it up to the 20th century. Again, they do it with other Svaros and they hedge, but Bikaron, it's something that exists. Okay. Then we read through the Hakdama of the Beit Yosef and the Hakdama of the Darkei Moshe, and we saw how the Beit Yosef and the Darkei Moshe, or Yosef Karo and Rosh Israelis, are attempting to balance the three main elements of Psak. And you see that the Beis Yosef writes, well, I go through the sugya, ideally I'd want to pass from the sugya. Elamai, it's too much. If I manage to get through everything, I'll have forgotten it by the time I get back to it. And I can't analyze the Gemara better than Rishonim anyways. So forget it. I'm going to paskin like precedent under most cases. I'm going to read everybody, all the Rishonim and the Zohar, right? That's his basic summary. What?
Sometimes
the Zohar. The Mixas Megomas. And Rov Hazman, I'm going to paskin based on the majority of the Rosh Rif Rambam. If they don't talk about it, then I'll look at the other ones, unless there's an overwhelming minhag of Psak differently. But Bikaronama, right, what he tells you is, look, I'd love to be a sugya posek, but I'm not really. I'm mostly a precedent posek. Pam bit, the minog will tell me to that the precedent should be weighed differently. So again, these are different factors he weighs, but if you give, he gives the most weight to precedent, to previous poskim. The Rama disagrees. First of all, he doesn't like the Beis Yosef. He didn't love, you know, I take it back. He loves the Beis Yosef. He, right, if you know the story with the Rama, right, the Rama actually wrote, as I mentioned last week, something which was basically identical to the Beis Yosef and never published it, most of it, because he said, oh, the Beis Yosef is already doing it, Yosef Karo is already doing it, I don't need to do it. Instead, but he does write some of it. He writes Darkei Moshe HaKatzar, and then he writes the Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch. And he says his primary concern, besides the fact that Beis Yosef sometimes doesn't follow his own rules, is that he ignores the Ashkenazi Psak, and specifically the weight that Ashkenazi poskim give to Minhag. And therefore, not only does he include Balei HaTosfot more, because Beis Yosef also quotes Balei HaTosfot, but he gives a tremendous amount of weight to the Sifrei Minhagim of Ashkenaz. Maharil, Maharivayel, and people like that. Okay? What we didn't discuss last week, and to understand sort of the modern moment in Psak, you need to get this, is that what did Rav Moshe Israelis and Rav Yosef Karo agree on? Right? There was something very big, totally unspoken, that they agree on. And what is that? It's very important. But they didn't even, so important they didn't even bother talking about it.
You should be involved in writing sefers at Halakhos
Pesukos. Yep. Yep, right there. Right? Right? They agreed that Psak in an ideal world should be codified. Right? Should be codified. They argued, how much weight do I give to precedent? When I'm calculating precedent, who do I count? How much weight do I give to minhag?
But a bitty, like a bitty of it.
What?
It wasn't a bitty of it.
Not really. I mean, look, Reclusive Caro just says, like, look, there's a tremendous amount of material, so you don't, you know, you can't do it without. But fundamentally, what is their intuition? Both of them is that there should be what?
Sackcloth.
Like, there should be an accepted body of halachic writing, hence codification. And when I say codification, I don't necessarily mean a book. Right, meaning, but their philosophy lends itself to the writing of codes because they think there should be, if not one psak, a mitzumtzam number of accepted psaks that are culled from the majority of precedent and minhag. Right, they slightly argue, but fundamentally they agreed. But there was a third person. There was a third person alive at that time, Shlomo Luria. The Marshal, the Amshor Shlomo, who, it's not just he disagreed at the margins. He wanted nothing of this.
He was alive at the same time, right before, right after?
1510 to 1573, right? I opened it up in Wikipedia, okay? Not like, right? 1510, right? So if you want the exact years, right? So Yosef Caro is 1488. To 1575. Yeah, every time I look at that, it's like, wow, he lived a long life. right, in that time, for sure, right? I mean, he lived till he was 87, right? So yeah, meaning they're living at basically the same, right, the same moment, right? Meaning he's born much earlier, but they die, you know.
Samiri also?
No. He's similar to the Ramah, right? Rabbi Yosef Caro is obviously in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
The Ramah is in Krakow in Poland. Right. And Shlomo Luria is also in Poland. Okay, he's also in Poland.
He's also Ashkenazi?
Also Ashkenazi. But he is so angry by not just by the local psakim here and there. He conceptualizes psak totally differently, right? So you started reading it, right? And how does he start off?
With a bunch of poetry.
Yeah, so first poetry, then what does he say? So what does he say? He said, first of all, is that what? He said, you look at the Torah, what do you notice?
There's a lot of missing stuff.
Before that, he said, there's a lot of machlokot.
Oh.
Right? Before missing stuff. There are machlokot. Right? The Torah has a lot of machlokot, and that's good. We love it. Right? It's an ode to Divrei Elokim Chayim. Right? If you remember that first paragraph. He says there have been so many books, right? So many books written. But he said there are all these machlokot. And what do you have? You have on every little sugya, right? One person will say mutter, one will say asur. One will say chiyuv gomur. The other one will say isur kores. You know, like, it doesn't matter, right? You will mamish get minakatse lakatse. Right? This is what you get, like, in cans on Shabbos. Right, it's like some postgame. It is mutter l'chatchila, and other people say it is mamish achiv misa l'kol hadeos. It's bone makab patish, and so say wrapped up together. Right, like you can get him in minakatzakatze. So then, what does he say? So he says, he said, what do you do? You look at it, right? You look at it, and you say oyve, right? I mean, what? How is this true? But he says no. The chiddush of he said, even when they're arguing, it's Divrei Elokim Chayim. For sure they can agree. Right? So he says, okay. But then he asks the question. He says, okay. Im kain, haga be'atzmecha. Right? You tell me what he said. Moshe, lama lo katav mitia gvura beheretev kvi asherau'i. Lishi pol boshem safek. He said, I don't understand. You want to say, it's beautiful that they're machlokot, but it's even better when everyone learns the sugya and gets to the same conclusion. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu not just write it down? Tell us what. Just tell us the answer. Right? Right? And he said, why do we need all these gzeros? Right? Let Moshe do it. Right, he said, why wasn't Moshe clear so we don't need machlokas? And why do you need their rabbanans? Right? Why do you need their rabbanans? Let Moshe Rabbeinu, any time there's a pirtza that needs to be protected, so let Moshe Rabbeinu do it. Meaning what? Right? What is the svara to this whole mess of a system that we have? So what is you say?
So it would be impossible to write it all down.
You have to write a million. So he says, first of all, Kol Mershen Mim Shari Lasot Svaram Binyan Ze. Ki Ain Tate Vitach Lin Yano. Kamashbo, Ki Yamim Dio. Right? It doesn't matter. You couldn't do it. Right? And then he uses the beautiful poetry, right? If all the skies was were parchment and all the seas were ink, right? You couldn't do it. Lo Yaspikul Khle Parsha Achat. You wouldn't manage to explain a single parsha. Right? If you mamish tried to exhaust it. Im kol svekot shi poluba. And all the sveko that would fall on it. Umashi chudash. We would say mimele lorov talotan. All the chidushim. Im kol mashchol cham Yisrael lahamik b'sechal yun lahamik l'shano rohosif alav. And everything that the cham are going to add to it. V'od adaraba. Im kol zeh katuv b'tara kal v'chomer sh'aya alav yoter hosafa. Rasul mar hosafa ala safa. He said, don't kid yourself. Right? You could write the Torah as specific and detailed as you think. And then what would happen? So there would be perushim on the perushim of the details of the details, which would go on forever. Right? It doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter how detailed you are. So he said, it's impossible. It's impossible. It doesn't matter how clear you are. Right? He said, you're going to have to add a hasaga, and then you have to get another hasaga forever and ever and ever. And for different reasons. Right? You know, you can throw them out. What reasons is it impossible to write down Kol HaTorah Kula?
Situation you're
going to
come up
with. Yeah, meaning no matter how good you are, right? No matter how good you are, right? Modern halacha, like, what are you going to do, right? They didn't. The poskim didn't write about it didn't want to. They didn't know about it. Bechlal, right? And most poskim, at least attempt to cover modern psak. There's one glaring exception on that one. Who? Rav Aaron liked pointing this out. Mishnah Brura. Right, the reason Mishnah Brura feels so canonical is because he's a 20th century work. He dies in the 1930s, right? And he never talks about electricity, and he never talks about cars, and he never talks about trains, and nothing. Right? The Mishnah Brura, who everyone considers like the Posek Acharon, lived in the 20th century, and you look through Mishnah Brura and all the big shilas that the whole world is arguing about, he just doesn't talk about. Right? He's like, forget it, it's not worth it. I'm summarizing the Acharonim from 500 years ago. Right? It's incredible. It's an incredible feat. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan is the same time. Right? And he talks about electricity. Right? Like, it's mind-boggling. He has an obituary in the New York Times, and he doesn't talk about electricity. Right? We're not talking about... Magen Avraham lives right after the Ramah. Right? A generation or two after the Ramah. Mishnah Brura dies. There are people alive who have met the Chavetz Chaim, right? Like, we're not talking so long ago. I remember we had a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. Now he passed away, right? Rabbi Yankelevich passed away like 2 years ago or something like that. But my first year in YU, he was, I guess, about that point, 101 or something like that. Something along those lines. 99, 100, 101, I don't remember. He died, he was several years over 100. And he gave us a sicha of Elul in the Mir. Which he meant, Elul in Mir.
Real Mir.
He's like, I remember when I was in the Mir and I used to stand next to Chaim Shmulevitz when Reuchem Levavitz used to give Sichos Musar. We're like, whoa. And he's like, I remember once also I went with my wife and we visited the Chavetz Chaim. I'm like, oh God. Like, you were married when the Chavetz Chaim was alive. Like, that's really a madrega. But like, you know, it was a long time ago, but it wasn't like, you know, whatever, it was 80 years ago, 85 years ago. Not like... But most modern poskim, right? One of the reasons Mishnah Brura, as long as it is, isn't endless, is because he just doesn't deal with modern shailas. He just summarizes old material. But there is no attempted grappling. Can you imagine how much longer the Mishnah Brura would be if in Shabbos he actually had a discussion on electricity? Right? I mean, it'd be helpful.
Also, but, not only in situations, but I don't know. There's
further analysis, and so he says, look, it's just impossible. It's just impossible. You can't do it, right? So there's no attempt. And therefore, what? What's your conclusion? Right, what's the conclusion from the fact that the Torah is an ever-growing wellspring of wisdom, and that questions are always going to come up, and that you can never quite cover it all? What conclusion do you reach from that? So there's two very different conclusions you could reach about that. One is the one that won the day for a very long time, which was write codes and just write new codes. Write codes and write new codes. Meaning the ideal, what really lies behind the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama, the Rambam, right? As we just saw, that he doesn't love the Rambam, but why? Because what motivates codification? The belief that at least ideally, we should come as close as possible to having a unified psak. Right? The Rambam, in no uncertain terms, said, I'm writing this book, so all you need is Tanakh, my book, and you can learn philosophy all day. Right? Right?
Ideally,
did they move the shear later? Is that what happened? I guess so. Okay.
Ideally, there's Sanhedrin passing in Charlotte. Is everyone doing the same thing?
Okay, so let's hold Sanhedrin off, right? Because he's not, right? That's going to be a kasha on it, right? But fundamentally, he says, look, this whole notion of codification is based on this idea that there should be one psak. And as best as you can, you should try to get a psak that is uniform. And then he attacks the Rambam. Why does he attack the Rambam? What does he not like about the Rambam?
Smarty.
It's not that he's smarty. And why is that bad?
You can never reform or reevaluate.
Exactly. Right, he's saying the Rambam, not only did he write a code, but he wrote a code without sources. He wrote a code without explanations. He wrote a code which, as he himself writes, is meant to be the final word. But halacha doesn't work that way for two reasons. Right? One is their machlokot. Right? And maybe he is not right. Right? And two, as he already mentioned, is what happens with this new shaila? What are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do? Right? The Rambam gives you the bottom line. The bottom line doesn't necessarily help you when there's new shailas. You need to know sources. You need to be able to examine. So instead, and this is what you were up to, right, after he rips on the Migdalos, right? Which is whatever. It's a hobby of his, as he lets you know. He tells you, okay. So who's his hero? If you have to guess, who is the Yamshar Shlomo's hero?
Bear Hatev.
Or heroes. Yeah, who are his heroes?
Ravina and Ravina.
Later than that. Who do you think his heroes are? Nope. See the direction. Who are his heroes?
Balei Tosfos.
Good. Why? Thank you for looking at that line. Why? So let's look. Said, who are his heroes? The Balei Tosfos. Why? So look. V'nachzor l'rishon note. Let's go back to the beginning. Right? Remember I said neither the Beis Yosef or the Darkei Moshe wants to do this. Right? But there are two things that are sort of connected. Right? Once you go to precedent and minhag, it more lends itself to issuing a psak that is somewhat uniform. Because you don't go back to the beginning. What do? You say, look, this is how halacha has developed for the last 500 years, and this is like the range of positions that are still plausible. Or this is the custom of how people have paskin, so this is the range of what's acceptable. Right? But if you don't believe that that's what you should be doing, you say, no. Right? We shouldn't be heading for uniform psak, because Moshe didn't give uniform psak, and Moshe didn't write everything because he wanted people to go back to the sugyot and have access. So your hero is going to be the Balei Tosfos, because the Balei Tosfos' goal was not code. But what did they do? What was the chiddush of the Balei Tosfos? אני מסכים איתך שחשוב ללמוד בעברית, אבל זה גם חשוב שהרצון שלנו ללמוד עברית זה יהיה התלמוד תורה לא יהיה קורבן על המזבח של העברית. כן, זה גם חשוב.
הזמינו אותי אמריקאי פה לחנוכת בית, אז הבייגל זה הבייגל של אמריקאים, אומרים דבר תורה באנגלית והמוזיקה זה באנגלית. אמרתי להם איזה כיף, הייתי שעתיים בניו יורק בלי לנסוע.
קידשנו את החול והבאתי את זה לפה. Okay. So he says what? So he says, V'nachzor l'rishonot, l'talmud asher anu oskim bo. Said, I don't believe in this whole thing. Right, this whole code business. Oh, let's go back to the Talmud. We may not know show team. And did what? So now what does he say?
Didn't they like work backward from Minhag a lot also?
So sometimes. But what did they do most of the time? No, sometimes. Now, in the beginning of Avodah Zarah for sure, but what was their ultimate goal? Correct. Exactly. What does he say? He says, Lulei Chachmei HaTzarfatim Balei HaTosfot Shasu Oto Kikadur Achad. And this is his famous line. If it weren't for the Balei Tosfot, then what do they do? What is Asu Oto Kikadur Achad? They took all the Masechta and made it one ball. Right? Meaning they interconnected it. What was the big problem in the Gemara? Is that there are discussions everywhere. Right? And what does Tosfos do at every point in the Talmud? Right? He connects. Right? He tries to figure out not what does Gemara Brachot say, but what does Shas say. Right? What does Shas say? What does the Gemara say? What did Chazal want from us? V'aleim ne'mar divrei chachamim kedarvonot. Right, they roll it over and roll it over from place to place. Right, you know, they're making a ball, they're kneading it, they're rolling it until it's a smooth ball. It looks like it's one big thing. Right, with no contradictions, nothing uprooting it. Right, classic, a random time, Sveidinim. Right, this sugi is talking about that. That sugi is talking about that. It's not the same. I really do hope you're catching the biblical references, but okay. V'nimtza...
There's about
0%. Lokar of Zel, Zeh, Kol anyways. V'nimtza miyushara Talmud. U'mikushar. V'kol ha-stimot yifarshu. V'tochem psakav yushiru. Right? He said it'll be straight, and it'll be tied together, and all the things that were closed will be solved. Ha-kol zot lo yispik la'achronim. This wasn't enough for the achronim. Either because they wanted to and they wanted to go their own way, or because the Balei Tosfot also argue, right? The Achronim didn't love just the Tosfot, right? He's like, the Tosfot are my heroes, but you know, not everyone loves them as much as I do, because the Divrei Mesachus Ebeze B'Siva Shemakom Echad Hu Divrei Rabbi Tam Makom Hashenu Hu Divrei Rivrei Va. He said, right, it's different people everywhere. And they're arguing. And then if you skip the next paragraph, he says, V'nei karacheret, kagona ramban, harama, haraz, harashba, isha kodesh v'nei yonah, v'tamidav, isha anav v'tahor, she'en menacham kamo, marami nikra, v'hemet talmid echad, shkamat milayed mekomo, marna v'raman ramenu asher. Then there were all these other people, right? All these Sephardim we showed him, Sephardim, Christian Sephardim. And then there was Marami Rutenberg, who's like, what? Awesome, right? In Ashkenaz. He's like, there's all these like people in Christian Spain. Oh. Right, not no, like Christian. That was it. Like Christian, not Sephardim. Like Christian from, like
from Sfarad.
Christian Sephardim.
Right, right, right.
Christian Spain. Right.
Christian Rishonim.
Yeah, like, thank you. Like right, like, and then there was the great German, right? The great German Rishon, Marami Rutenberg, right? Who had his student, who almost came to his place, the Rush, right? Almost, right? As we know, Marami Rutenberg. The best. Ora's favorite Rishon. Mamish. Hence, Meir. Hence, my oldest son, Meir. I kid you not. I thought she was joking. I asked Ora after Meir was born, so what are we naming him? She's like, I told you, I want to name my firstborn after Marami Rutenberg. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? I was like, no, I was dead serious. Hence, I have a Meir. Meir after Marami Rutenberg. His first svarim, his first books were not like Elmo, whatever. His first was a 4-volume set that my in-laws got him from Mossad Rav Kook of Shurt Barambi Rudenberg. Oh, yeah. sitting on my shelf.
You read it him at night?
No, we learned Tanakh.
Is it going to affect his...
what?
It might affect his psychological growth, being compared to...
Whatever, each of my sons.
No, yeah. It might be different.
Look, Aaron is after Vlachonsin and Rav Amital. And Ezra, Shmuel Ezra after the Rashbam, yeah. And Shmuel Falej, and Ezra, as in the Ezra. So he said, and there was the Marami Rutenberg and the Rosh. They built on the Rif. Asher Birer Talmud Vin Feb Yud Gimel Nafot Val Devei Tosfot Mishem Otzil Or Kol Tam Lamutam. He said, and after all these beautiful Rishonim. And everyone was trying to make everything clear. What did you get? He said, instead of getting a single answer, right? Hatorah lo naseh kishtei Torah, el ketariag Torah. Baruch Hashem, right? The Torah is no longer two Torahs. It is 613 different Torahs, right? Mirov miriboy machloket. We call echad boneh bama latzmo, ukilu kaf mazne tzedek biyado. Everyone builds on bama. Everyone thinks that all rightness is in their hands. Uve shekel akodesh ushokel, and that he's measuring with the holy shekel, right? Machriya klevik af schuto. Ulef umato, baruch yomar hasfaradi omer. And the Sfaradim, on the other hand, will say, nah, throw the Bali Tosfos out. We only paskin like the Sfaradi poskim, especially the Rambam. Shayamule, b'cholamalot, b'pnimiyot, b'chitzonot. Right? They'll say, oh, he's better than everybody, inner, outer, everything. And all the Ashkenazim, they're just like the peels of garlic. Right? I literally have heard people say this to me. I had a Temani who came over and told me that my Judaism is wrong because Torah went from Moshe to through the Mesorah to the Tanaim, to the Amoraim, to the Gaonim, to Alfasi, to Ibn Megaz, to Maimon, to the Rambam, and that was Halacha LeMoshe Messina, and the Balei Tosfot were Koyferim because they didn't believe in the Rambam. I was like, you're kidding me, right? He's like, no, this is the Mesorah from Har Sinai, and the Ashkenazim, you deny it. Okay? So, the Yom Shir Shlomo was not so happy with these people, and he said, you know, you just throw it out. V'shori le'marei shagramdehu v'gorom dileyu imkein humashanem sabigrato v'ktav levno v'gazar lav levmot sifrei chacham Avram ibn Ezra shaloya bal Talmuda. Right? And he said, and then they read the Ibn Ezra, who didn't even write on Talmud, right? He just wrote on Tanakh, Roman Pirush al Tanakh at Tchuna Ava TV, he just writes on Tanakh and nature and whatever, the Kabbalah Chitzonot, but just becoming on Divrei Chachma of Torah Talmud, and he just writes against the Torah, right, against the Talmud, right? This is what they all quote to me. He's like, whatever, he had a lot of chips on his shoulder. Okay. Right, omibli hashkacha, omibli idea. So the Ibn Ezra wrote against the Gemara either because he didn't care or he didn't know. Right, omibli hashkacha, omibli idea. Because the Ibn Ezra interprets Pesukim against Chazal. Right, and he says, "Look," he said, "Look," he said, "Ukvoda b'mkomo numunach." Right, his honor should rest in its place. Ki chacham gadol haya. I admit he was smart. Vein mashivin in ari, and you don't respond to the lion after he's dead. Kein olchen achar berjol lo lechei leftor. We don't follow it. Right at all. Lo lasser lo atir. Kiasu kamba negan halacha. Bafilu negan chachmei mishnah. Negan amorai talmud. Bli mispar. Goes against the Gemara. The Mishnah. Talmud. Everybody. Yes. Yes, he does. In certain cases. Yes, he doesn't want to, but he does. V'emet shamati omer lav shekachay amachin v'dil l'rabim shein rotz elisa panim l'farshan makom asher sichlo yagi lulei haKabbalah. Right, and he said that he wasn't even trying to do halacha. Right, he was just trying to explain as best as he could. And then he continues. He talks a little bit about the Rambam's philosophy, which he doesn't love. And how the, you know, neither did the Ashkenazim, they didn't like it very much. Right, and then he talks about the Ramban. And then he talks about the Ravid. He goes on, right, he tells you his whole history. Right? But then he writes, "Umitoch zeh nitan lebal din lachlok, kimli kechad min hona." Sfaradim kesfaradim, atzarfatim kesarfatim. Right. So if you look like the second to last paragraph on this page, he said, after all this mess, right? What do people say? If I'm a Sfaradi, I paskin like a Sfaradi. If I'm an Ashkenazi, like an Ashkenazi. Let everyone do whatever they want, right? V'am kol shonho. And every nation in his own language, right? Yes, it is. The Sover HaTorah he Yerusha he LeMishpachot said, what emerged from all this? Right, we were never going to get to codification. So what did people settle for? They couldn't get to codification. So what did they settle for? What? Yeah, more than one code, two codes, right? Sfaradim Paskin like the Sfaradim, Ashkenazim like the Ashkenazim, and Shalom al Yisrael. And he said, what happened? Instead of the Torah is Yerusha LeMishpachot, instead of Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Morasha Kilat Yaakov. Instead of the Torah being inheritance of the Jewish people, it became the inheritance of each family. They have their own minhagim, their own psak. V'lo zu haderech, v'lo zu ha'ir. Right? This is not the path, this is not the city. Kimimot ravina v'rav ashi ein kabbalah lipos lifsok echad min ha'gaonim. He said, stin stimas ha'talmud. We don't just pick somebody and paskin like it. Omen achronim. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're gaonim. I don't care if you're rishonim achronim. It doesn't matter. Elami shiachshru dvarav liotam yusadim b'mofet choteich al pi ha'talmud v'yerushalmi. The one who makes the most sense and can prove himself from Bavli Yerushalmi, v'tosefta mona shecharei b'talmud, or tosefta if there is nothing in the Bavli Yerushalmi. He says, all this is a mistake. This codification, this separate codification for Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, who's he talking about? Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Right? He said, I don't just argue at the margins. Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, they argue, a little more minag, a little less minag, more Ashkenazi psak, Sfaradi psak. He said, I don't agree with this whole thing. Right? This is a mistake. That's not how psak works. Psak works. Remember our three prongs? Psak works how? Gemara. Gemara, Gemara, Gemara. Yeah. Right? Rishonim are important insofar as they help you figure out the Gemara. But you paskin like the Gemara. Period. End of story.
What does he say about minhag?
Gemara. Gemara. Right? He said, I don't care what your minhag is. I don't care if you're Ashkenazi. I don't care if you're Sephardi. I don't care who you are. Right? Since Ravina and Ravashi, and this comes back to Ariel's point, he's saying, he's not denying that there's such a thing as a unified psak. Sanhedrin HaGadol Yoshev Yerushalayim, Chasimas HaTalmud. He said, if you don't have a formal thing like that, then there's no unified psak.
The Ram says that. The Ram says no one is able to unify it after the Ram, after the Quran.
Right, and yet he writes good.
He says now he writes like Rav Postman.
So then what does he do? So he writes like this. So he continues, and he says, Ubiklala Davar. Because of this, because of how the world is going, lo yacholti lehitapek. I couldn't hold myself back. I couldn't control myself. Milasot sefer v'chibur. I had to write. Afshe and Kates, even though books are endless. K'moshen iskar v'zer chacham. And Shlomo Melch told me not to write. I get it. But I wrote anyways. Mikom makom tsuki ha'et. And he said, we're in distress. This is a time of distress. V'hirus dat ha'michalkim gamuvar. It is a destruction of positions that argue. Haviani halom. This forced me to write a book. A book, unlike all other books, right? Or unlike Mechaber and Ramah, which is going to do what? Go back to the sugya, right? Go back and pass from the Gemara. Sometimes it's for a whole week. Until I figured out the sugya, zui shitati. This is my derech. Lavi, he says, lavi kol adayot. I bring all positions, bein akadmonim, bein achronim, all the rishonim achronim. But here's the key: the lo nasati panum l'shum mechaber. But I don't give benefit. I don't. Right, I don't preference anybody. Af shador l'manu leidahi meirov chulshat v'rafyon yadam. And you hold up a simcham la'asig.
He will pass him like one of them.
What? Correct.
He's not going against Rishonim.
No, he is. Meaning, he is the Mposik. He's using Rishonim to understand the Gemara.
Does he ever go against?
Sometimes he has his own Chidushim. Yeah, I mean, everyone
generally
does.
Is,
correct. But he's Machria based on Sugyo. Right? How he brings the Rishonim to help him understand. But he doesn't say, oh, the Rambam's so big. He always passes like the Rambam.
Right?
And he says, Meirov, and he said, the generation before us, Merov chushat v'rafyot yadam, because they were so weak. And yechol b'sir chlam lasik, and they just weren't that smart, right? Shegadol echad min achaverim yateb b'dim, you know, that one of the authors can trick them. V'sovrim ashkatav v'ktav yashan in lahar acharav. And they think, oh, it's written in old print. Oh, it's true. It's true. You can't challenge it. Right? V'eno dim tam el shtor divrei chavero. Right? V'kol ma sheyotze mipi adam, afilo hutsak min hatsvachin v'svatayim, mipi v'mefik margaliyot, afilo achar magavra miguf rein. Hello, yesh gam lanu lashon limudim. Yad v'sam b'talmud okmato. He said, they listen to a new Talmud Chacham, and it doesn't matter if there are pearls of wisdom coming out of his mouth. What's their immediate response? Exactly what the Beis Yosef said. Remember this? Who are we? Who are we to say we have more chidushim in the Gemara than the Rishonim? Right? He said, Aval ha'emuna be'emunat shamayim shechochachti kama pamim. He said, by heaven, right? Right? I have proven. Bifrat min poskim achronim shatau bekamot mikom min ma'tamud. He said it's not just. It's not just that I don't disagree. I don't agree with this. He said they also get it wrong. They just get it wrong, right? To add insult to injury, they just get it wrong. Gechar min tamidei matoid binyan iyun halacha. Right? They're just like students who make mistakes. I will not believe anybody more than somebody else. I don't care how many people say it. And I don't care how big of a posek you are. I don't care who you are. The Gemara is the posek. That's it. Proofs and the Gemara is what wins the day. So sometimes people got it right for the wrong reasons. He said, look, Rabbeinu Tam was great. I love Rabbeinu Tam. I told you that already. He doesn't always get it right. He said, no one is like that. Right? And therefore, everybody has to go back to the sugya.
Brings an example of Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah, he gives an example. Right? He gives examples of everybody. Okay, and he continues. But the Yom Shel Shlomo basically writes this ode to prong three, right? And he says, whether you hold precedence or you hold minog, right, the whole generation around him suddenly had this feeling that psak fundamentally should be uniform. And if you want to make uniform psak, the best way of doing it is to follow some combination of precedence and minog. But the Yom Shel Shlomo said this is all betaut. That's not what psak is. Psak is primarily analysis of the sugya. Yes, you have to know precedent. You have to know what the Rishonim said. But you only use the Rishonim to understand the Gemara. Because that's how we paskin. Right? Independent analysis. Now here's where things get interesting. Okay? Because what happened? How many people in the 16th century, 15th, 16th century, bought in to Shlomo Lira's vision of the universe?
Almost none.
Almost none. Right? Very quickly. Very, very quickly. The Mechaber Ramah, especially when they joined forces, right, won the day. And every major posek for hundreds of years, what did they do? They wrote one of two things. Right? They either wrote Shalos and Tshuvos, because everyone always writes Shalos and Tshuvos, or they wrote Perushim on Shulchan Aruch, or they wrote Perushim around the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Magen Avram, Taz, Chelkos Mechokek, Beis Shmuel, right? Be'er Heitev, Sha'arei Tshuva, Pischei Tshuva, Dogel Merivava, Beis Ephraim, doesn't matter, right? Gilyon Marsha, right? Everybody, right? Everybody, commentary on Shulchan Aruch. And the ones who wanted to really break out, what do? They wrote books, Al Seder Shulchan Aruch, Orecha Shulchan, Shulchan Aruch Harav, Livush, right? Mamish broke out, right? They didn't write a commentary, they wrote Al Seder on every simit. I'm not going to write Al Shulchan Aruch, I'm just going to write Al Seder Shulchan Aruch, right? Like, it's like a phenomenon. And the ethos behind the Yom Shel Shlomo's approach to Psak was just, nobody cared. Right, everyone was like, "Hey, I love this codification." Right, and then it just became a game of semantics, not semantics, a game of, you know, of little things. Right, okay, yeah, I disagree a little bit with the Shulchan Aruch. I disagree with the Ramah a little bit. Right, I think the Minhag is a little bit different. Right, right. It was like, but fun, yeah, until this insane moment, right, in Lithuania, right, in the 18th century. When a person emerged whose attitude to the world was, I don't care what anybody else has said about anything, right? To over-exaggerate it slightly, right? But I'm going to paskin from the Gemara. And who was that? The Gra. Right? The Vilna Gaon comes, and that's it, right? Now, amongst Svardim, you had some of this also, right? You have a little bit of it. Pri Chadash is like that, right? Pri Chadash is like that. But really, 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 in Ashkenaz, right? Like, nobody cared about this until the Gra. And suddenly, pitom, right, explodes in Lithuania, a whole group of poskim who go to the Gemara, right? Shagas Aryeh, right? Shagas Aryeh, right? You read the Shagas Aryeh, it's sugya, right, from the beginning. And this mentality that psak should come from the Gemara, right, fundamentally comes from the Gemara, which had been dormant for 250 years, comes back in vogue. And suddenly you have post-Gim who are running like this. Modern post-Gim, like Chazon Ish. Right? Chazon Ish is like this. Right? Chazon Ish does not write Al Seder Shulchan Aruch. Right? You might be make a mistake. If you look at the Chazon Ish on the shelf, you'll be like, oh, look, it's Shulchan Aruch. It's Al Seder Shulchan Aruch. It's called Aruch Chaim Yeredeah Choshen Mishpat Evan Ezer. Open it up. All that means is everything that has to do with Aruch Chaim and or Zmanim, like and or Zmanim issues, is in that section. It has nothing to do with Shulchan Aruch, right? And it's organized by Sugya to the extent that it's organized at all, right? To the extent that it's just a series of essays, right? The Chazon Ish just analyzes Sugyas, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein often is like this, right? Not as extreme as the Chazon Ish. The Rav. Right, the Rav said his father told him, "How am I supposed to paskin?" Right, this is like I don't forget who told me. I think it was right. Carly, you told me.
Go to the Gemara and then you check Rishonim to see if you're right.
No, go to the Gemara. Go to Gemara Rishonim. Paskin from that. Use a Shulchan Aruch as a check to make sure you don't diverge too often. Right, but fundamentally, he said you're supposed to paskin Gemara Rishonim. Right, Gemara Rishonim. And there's this whole world now. People don't realize. Who was one of the biggest contributors to this world? People don't realize this, but one of my chavrus pointed it out, and he's absolutely right. Mishnah Brura. Because the Mishnah Brura, if you ever read through Mishnah Brura, have you noticed who is his posek acharon? Who is the posek that no matter what happens, right, he's willing to pull out, even when it's against everybody else? The Gra. He quotes the Gra left, right, and center. Right, the Mishnah Brura, you wouldn't guess it, because the Mishnah Brura feels like a compilation. It is, except how often did he just say, well, Shulchan Aruch says this, Ramah says this, but the Gra paskin like this, and either we should yesh l'hachmir like the Gra, efshar l'smoch al Gra l'hakel, right? And I mentioned this last week, which half of the Mishnah Brura is a very much an expression of this methodology? The Ber Halacha. Right? The Ber Halacha, we don't even think about how radical the Ber Halacha is. Because, Mishnah Brura is just another Perish on Shulchan Aruch. No, it isn't. And this is what Rav Moshe Lichtenstein pointed out once. Right? Is that the Mishnah Brura is... this is his theory. Why did the Mishnah Brura become so influential in the 20th century? Because the Mishnah Brura feels and looks and almost is a continuation of Mechaber Ramah. What did precedents say? What did the Nosei Kelim say? How do we understand Shulchan Aruch? How do we understand the Ramah? How do we understand the Minog? Right? And the Ber Halacha is the Gra. Right? It's the Gra's Misora. Right? It's, I'm going back to the Sugya. These are my Chidushim. I'm going back to the Rishonim. This is what I think. What I think the Ramah is wrong. Right? The fact that at the end of the day, the Ramah is the Mishnah Brura is a very conservative posek because he's Machmir either based on precedent and Minog or based on Svara. Right, doesn't change the fact that fundamentally the Mishnah Brura is a work that bridges the Misora of the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries of Mishnah Brura, of Mechaber Ramah, and then this whole world that sort of popped up in Lithuania, which he maintains in the Ber Halacha. And so Rav Moshe argues that this is why the Mishnah Brura is so influential nowadays, right, is that you read it and it speaks to both, right, to both sort of modes of psak. why do I say this is really important to understand the modern moments in psak? Right? I mean, I've already basically said it, right? Is that, as I said, psak is the balance of these three big factors, right? But what's crazy in many ways about psak in the 20th century and 21st century is that what had been dormant for 250 years came alive with the Gra. And then with the Mishnah Brura, that mentality became canonized. Right? And now, even though there's codes, right? Codes, Ada and Kates. Right? If you think about what's going on in the codes, if you think about what's going on in modern Psak, right? What's happening in modern Psak? You read modern codes, right? Some of them are just codes. But also, what's going on? Right? People complain about this all the time. Right? But there's something deep going on they don't even realize. Right? They're always adding chumras. Everyone's always adding chumras. Right? Why? because if you read a lot of these codes, so sometimes it's precedent, and sometimes it's chidushim, right? Rabbi Yashiv, right, has chidushim. Oh, yesh lahachavir, right? A lot of times the ingenuity is used lachumra, right?
I don't want to use a hakel, though. It seems like going to go with ingenuity.
So not everyone's willing to, but on the other hand, you see a lot of people, right, in the last, what is not yet as mainstream, right, a lot of people who are radically makil, right, especially in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see this, right? You see all these poskim who say things like what? Right? All these Israeli poskim followers are a little bit more radical, followers of Rav Kook, what do they say? Right? In Golos, it was a different type of psak. In Eretz Yisrael, we have to go back to Rishalmi, psak Eretz Yisrael. We have to paskin whatever they mean by that, right? Nevua and Agadita, whatever they mean, right? But what are they really saying? Right? They don't even quite articulate, but what are they doing?
Let's go to the precedent.
Yeah, meaning they're saying there's something flawed with precedent. Right? Meaning they're being menaseach it differently. Right? But they're saying there's something flawed with precedent. Right? The precedent was built in Galus, and now we have to pass in Eretz Israel. That's just another way of saying, right, or another excuse for going back to the Sugyot. Now again, they're also arguing that the Makoro should be different, that we should rely more on Yerushalmi and Agadata and, you know, broader issues and whatever. Right? Plus...
Who's the source for that? That it
should change? Rav Kook has... There's a lot of Rav Kook. Uh-huh. Right? Plus, there's also, Lidati, another factor that isn't discussed enough. There's something that forces modern poskim to go back to Sugyas. And that is...
new things come up.
Yeah. Is that technology and society has changed so rapidly, there isn't precedent. Right? And a lot of people point to that as better Bovadia. The Bovadia is an amazing posek. Right? Amazing posek. Quotes everything. Can you name, even if you knew Rabbi Avadia's track, you probably couldn't, but can you name any important shuvot he wrote on, like, modern issues? Modern technological issues? He didn't. Because he's a precedent posek. And therefore, many people have noted that if you look at his psak, he struggles when it comes to modern issues because he's exhaustive. But what does he do? It's weird sometimes. You read his psak, and what does he do? He quotes exhaustively from poskim who are, with all due respect to them, not Birama of Rabbi Avadia himself. Right? He'll quote all these like second tier poskim quoting on issue. Why? Because he's a precedent posek. So right? So part of it is the Mesorah of Lita, which revived, so to speak, the Yamshel Shlomo, and which strengthened consistently because of the Yeshiva movement. Right?
Yeah,
Volashin. Right, so everybody now has a lambda, and everybody's learning sugyos. It's strengthened at some level because of the Mishnah Berurah, right? And part of it, I think, Lidati, is that it's so hard to be a precedent, a pure precedent posek on modern issues because there is no precedent, right? There is no precedent, right? You know, I make this point about, you know, everyone talks about it now, but I think I had one of the first shiur on Yotar on it, right? On Amazon Echo and Google Home, and now everyone has a shiur on it. Right, but one of the things I've pointed out in that shiur is that the reason I think, like a year or two, 2 years ago already, that there was a big uproar in Israel about why is electricity usher. Part of it is just that, like, you know, there are always new shilas. Part of it was that the precedent was never fleshed out well. Right, we never really came to a conclusion why is electricity usher, and then it got worse because to the extent that we had any svaros about electricity, the modern electricity issues that we have bear nothing in common to the original shilas. So you don't have a choice. You're backed into a corner, and you have to go back to the original sources. Right? You have to. You can't just look it up in Shulchan Aruch. You can't look it up in Mishnah Berurah. And so the reason I think it's sort of, you know, I gave you this exercise of reading the Yamshel Shlomo, right, besides the fact it's fun, but it is also because if you want to understand, not just Psak in general, right, but if you want to understand how these three factors are dynamic, right, and how just because a particular posek or even a particular generation of poskim give more credibility, so to speak, to one of the factors, You have to realize that, like, yes, so there was a few hundred years when the precedent Minog schools, the notion of unified psak, trying to cull what already existed, won out, and the position that our primary allegiance, so to speak, is to the sugyo, lost, right? But that wasn't forever. 250 years later, it pops up again, and it slowly strengthens, and then through a combination of sociological factors, right, both the fact that the yeshiva movement grew and learning Gemara b'iyun became a thing amongst the masses, right, and it strengthened the Mesorah, so to speak, of the Gra, combined with the fact that modern shailas are just not precedent oriented, right? They just don't lend themselves to it. The balance is shifting, right? Now, sometimes you'll hear people arguing that people are too radical. But what they're really saying is that the shift has gone too fast, right? Or too much, right? Too extreme, right? All these, you know, Torah Eretz Yisrael people who said, yeah, throw out all the precedent, just start again from the Yerushalmi, right? But it's not out of nowhere, right? It's not out of nowhere. And that, I think, if you want to understand modern psak, you've got to look for, right? Because you've got to realize that psak, yes, it's always balancing the same three factors, but I think you find a lot more nowadays of people who are back in sugyos, right? Which is why, again, you have the extremes of it, right? Like the Torah Eretz Yisrael movement, but you see it in basically every technological tshuva, right? And you see it you see it in every technological tshuva. And then you see it in the Chumrah movement, right? The Chumrahs, a lot of them, they're developing from sugyos. Right? They're developing from sugyos. And yes, it's easier to be machmer than mekil, but still, it's coming from sugyos. But you also see it in the controversial kulot. Right? If you think about it, right? I don't want to get political, but just to sort of understand where we are, right? When it comes to the question of women laning, right? Suddenly, you see people, right, pulling out the Sefer Habatim and pulling, right? Because Lakula also, right, there's this feeling that we can re-examine Sugyot and we can go back to the beginning, right? And we can say things that people haven't said in 100 years or have never said, right? And now, for sure. I mean, undeniably, that the Torah Eretz Yisrael feeling. Well, first of all, Torah Eretz Yisrael movement has weakened, right, has sort of directly attacked precedent, right? Add to that the fact that the and this is something we'll have to talk about later in the year, the radical shift after World War II of people broke Minhag. It just broke it, right? Like Minhag just, right? Minhag became such a different thing. Right, and as I mentioned, one of the weird things about modern psak that's very hard to put your finger on is that until, you know, that basically classic minhag was always megam makom, and then in the 1950s and on, right, after World War II, everyone talks about minhag mishpacha, right, because they're clinging to minhag, right? But like, minhag doesn't, right, minhag radically shifted at that time, right? And it's only somewhat true that we follow minhag Ashkenaz and minhag Sfarad, right? Because it's not always true. Like, you look at Eretz Yisrael, I look at Eretz Yisrael, right? Nobody wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed, right? I just, right? Pretty much nobody. Okay, and it's not pashut, it's mutter to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael because there might actually be a real minhag makom, right? Mo'od yesh ladun, right? Right? Mo'od yesh ladun that it would be mutter even betzina, right? To wear it. I'm not convinced it is, right? I'm not convinced, right? Because there's mamish a minhag makom. Right, for however historical reasons it happened, yeah. Minhag HaMakom, right?
Minhag HaMashpacha, I mean, Minhag HaMakom is a lot more idea, it's a lot more present, and it's found in the Shas.
Why would you not be that aware? Are you supposed to see the Chumash of the place you came from?
Well, first of all, it's not clear this is a Chumrah, right? Meaning it might be Usher, right? Meaning if it's an Os, right, if Chol HaMoed is also an Os, you shouldn't wear it, It's not like you don't have to wear it. You should wear it.
Do the old tonight.
Yeah, but it's not clear you can do that, right? It's not clear, especially if there's a minigun or else.
Yeah, a lot better wear it.
What?
If the people who wear it, they say it's a lot better wear it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced one or the other. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's a rough one. It's not easy to put it on. The leftover red.
It depends. I think in public it would be vada yasser.
Right. Okay, but in some private.
Nish London. Probably in private, it's okay. It's not clear. No, it's very not clear. Right, so I think Minhag took a hit because people moved around the whole world, right? And new cultures emerged, right? Minhage, you know, like Kitniot took a big hit in Eretz Israel when, you know, because of the army, right? Yeah, you know, at least for a while, and I think that's still the policy, right? And also, it took a hit when Ashkenazim started marrying Sephardim, and I know, like, consistently, like, because
once
what?
Once it becomes a pain, people start.
Yeah, but I think what you got to understand when you read modern Psak is that modern Psak sometimes it feels the exact same as a tshuva from 100 years ago, right? But the controversial issues, right? I think, are at least somewhat a revival of this notion that we go back to the sugya. Right? And again, it's different factors. It's a combination of the strengthening of the yeshiva movement for the last 200 plus years, plus the fact that Minhag weakened, plus the fact that there are all these ideologies out there that believe that the precedent that we've had isn't the right precedent. Right? Again, we don't, not enough Yerushalmi, not enough this, not enough that, blah, 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 whatever it is. Right? And my point is just to recognize that, right? Is that to recognize that it's not just, yes, as I said, all three factors are always working in tandem, and it's just a little bit of weighing, but sometimes, right, certain factors get pushed to the fore, and while for a few hundred years, really, the major poskim were either precedent or minhag poskim, a lot of modern psak, for one reason or another, you see a lot more of the sugya thing emerging. And that does affect the radical psakim. And those are some of the most controversial that you'll see. Right? Are the ones where people aren't relying on precedent, either because they can't because there's no precedent, right? Or because they choose not to. Right? In which case, people get annoyed because they're choosing not to. Right? But still, it's important to understand that moment. Okay. We'll stop with that. Hopefully that provides a little bit of clarity into the insanity of modern psak and why I think it's become more complex. You know, people can argue with me, but I think it's hard to deny that that's happening a lot. I mean, you read the modern Tshuva on electricity.
Yeah, I'll go to Gemara, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to go back to the Gemara. It's Gemara, it's a Rambam here or there, and then it's the five postgame we discussed in the 20th century.
People come in just with the assumptions, also they're trying to find why it's also. That seems like what you do in general.
Often. Yeah. Often.
That's
often.
Not, that's not really a priori source. I mean,
correct.
Starting with the Minhag, we have Minhag not to use electricity.
Mm-hmm. Rakhav Ariel, it owns up to it.
Yeah.
Totally owns up to it. And one of the Talmidim, the Chazon Ish, claims the Chazon Ish told him that too. Yeah. The Chazon Ish said, people think that I started with the Svara and then I said it was Asr. Nah, I knew it was Asr and then I figured out why. Story for another time.